What I wanted to talk about this morning was thankfulness. Should we open with prayer? Lord, I thank you for bringing us here this morning. I thank you for the opportunity to open your word. I pray that as we discuss these things this morning, that we'll consider our own hearts and how important it is that we have a thankful attitude toward you for all you've done for us. Thank you for your word. I pray that your spirit will be with us and apply this to our hearts and help us to learn and grow through the things that we study this morning. In your name, amen. Well, I believe that as we go through the Bible record, we see that thankfulness is incredibly important to God. And one classic example of the importance of thankfulness, I think, is the story of the 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, 11 through 19, we read, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, 'Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' Then he said to him, 'Rise and go. Your faith has made you well.'" In this story, we see these 10 lepers that the Lord cleansed. And after he cleanses them, while they're going to show themselves to the priest, and they realize they're cleansed, one of them runs back, praising God with a loud voice, and he throws himself at Jesus' feet and thanks him. So he is sincerely thankful. But this man is actually a Samaritan. He's one of the half-Jews from the land of Samaria, and considered foreigners by the Israelites. So the Lord says, "Weren't 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Well, only one thought to come back and thank God, and here he wasn't even an Israelite. He was a foreigner. He was a Samaritan. So the Lord seems definitely disappointed by the fact that the others weren't thankful. And I think that the fact is that thankfulness is something that a lot of us struggle with. But in Romans chapter 1, talks about how critical thankfulness, or a lack of it actually, is in the movement of humanity as a whole away from God. In Romans chapter 1, starting about in verse 21, it talks about humanity's slow decline away from God, or sometimes it's a rapid decline. But it gives steps that they go through as they become more and more godless and turn away from God more and more. And interestingly, I think a lot of the steps we can trace out how we've gone that way in our society in the last maybe 100, 150 years as we've turned away from God more and more. But I think it's very interesting that right at the start of the decline, or of the slow spiral, the slow slide away from God, in verse 21, it talks about the way humanity starts when they turn away from God. And it says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." So he said one of the first two things he lists that happen when humanity starts to turn away from God is, number one, they don't give him the glory he deserves, and number two, they don't give him thanks. So when they stop giving God the glory he deserves and they stop being thankful to God for the things he's done for them, that starts the whole slide away from God. And it goes from there to idolatry, to sexuality, more and more perverse sexuality, of finally just being completely godless in their lifestyle and everything they say and do and all their thoughts. But the beginning of the whole thing is not glorifying God and not being thankful. And so we see how crucial thankfulness is in maintaining a right relationship with God, and that a lack of thankfulness is kind of the first step away from God, or one of the first steps away from God. So I think, again, that shows how crucially important it is that we be thankful to God. Now, for the rest of the time, I wanted to talk about thankfulness in the dispensation of grace. So, looking particularly at Paul's the later letters and what he talks about regarding thankfulness. First of all, the things that he personally was thankful for, Paul was thankful for, and then the things that he told us we should be thankful for. So starting out with the things that Paul says that he was thankful for in Ephesians chapter 1, and verse 16 he mentions it, but we'll start with 15. Ephesians 1:15, he says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." So Paul says that ever since he heard about these new believers in the dispensation of grace, he has not stopped giving thanks for them. Well, what were the things that he lists that caused him to give thanks for them? Well, I think there are the two things he says in verse 15. First of all, because he heard about their faith. And he was thankful that these new believers had faith. Now, when we think about our friends or our relatives or people who are believers, what kind of things are we thankful about for them? And I think a primary one, hopefully, is that they are believers, if they do have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, what is there that better than that? What could we be more thankful about than that, than that these people know the Lord? But the second thing he says he's thankful for is not just their faith, but also their love for all the saints, and that is that they loved their fellow believers. They loved other saints. So are you ever thankful for the way another person loves? That they love not just you, but that they love believers. That they love their fellow saints, the others who are in Christ along with them. Well, Paul says, I'm thankful for these new believers that they love all the saints. And I think they weren't just loving each other, but they were loving the apostles, the Acts period believers like Paul. And maybe even loving the Old Testament saints, the saints you read about in the Bible. I suppose that when we become new believers and we start reading the Bible and learning about all the Bible characters, we come to kind of love those Bible characters. And so I think that's included in loving the saints as well. It's really, up till this point, when all the believers were Jews, these characters were more or less national figures. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, all these are kind of national heroes. Kind of like in our nation, we have Abraham Lincoln and George Washington. And we love some of these national heroes in our history. But I don't suppose they think so much of them down in Mexico or up in Canada or in Central America or South America or Europe. Now, they don't care that much about George Washington or Abraham Lincoln, but we love them because they're our national heroes. And for the Jews, their fathers, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and David, these were national heroes. But the thing is, when we, even as Gentiles, even though they aren't our national heroes, because they are saints, because they are fellow followers of God, and we come to love these people. Not because they're our national heroes, but because they're saints, they're fellow followers of God. So I think Paul saw a genuine love for fellow believers, whether it was the believers that they knew who were living at the same time as them or the believers of the past in the Bible. Genuine love for saints, for God's people in these new believers, and he was thankful for that. Now, Colossians 1:3 is pretty much says exactly the same thing. Colossians is kind of the companion book to Ephesians, and Paul is thankful for the exact same thing for the Colossians. He says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints." So again, he's thankful for the Colossians for the exact same reasons, because of their faith and because of their love for their fellow saints. But in Philippians 1:3, Paul thanks God for the Philippian believers. And this time he lists a few different things. In Philippians 1:3, he says, "I thank my God every time I remember you." So he says, first of all, I thank God. Why? I thank God for my memories of you. Now that's very interesting. Have you ever thanked God for your memories of a certain person? Like, man, I thank God that I have such good memories with this friend or with that friend or this fellow believer. Or when I recall the fellowship we've had together over the Word. Thanking God for memories. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? Did you ever even consider thanking God for your good memories? Particularly your good memories with other believers. Now then, he goes on and says, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So the other thing he's thankful for is their partnership in the gospel. That they were right there with him. That from the very first, when he had first come to Philippi and they had believed, he was thankful that they had partnered with him in spreading the gospel. And we see in some of Paul's earlier letters in the book of Acts that when he went to places like Corinth, the Philippians actually were the ones who financially supported him when he was going out spreading the gospel to other cities. They gave generously, in spite of the fact that they weren't the most wealthy people, they gave generously to support Paul in his spreading of the gospel. So he was thankful for their partnership with him in spreading the gospel. Well, certainly that was a great thing to be thankful for all those who with us or that we've been able to partner with or join with in spreading the gospel. Whether we're the ones actually spreading it or maybe sometimes we're the ones giving the support, we can be thankful for that kind of partnership. 1 Timothy 1:12, Paul lists something else he's thankful for. 1 Timothy 1:12, Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. So he thanks Christ Jesus, first of all, for strengthening him, for enabling him, so that he had enabled Paul to serve God. And have you ever thanked God for your ability to serve him? I remember once when I went, my great aunt had a stroke and had to be put into a nursing home because one whole side of her body was paralyzed, and she was 90 years old or something, so it was her last few years at the time, but we went and visited her. And I remember I was there, I had a Christian t-shirt on from Northern Grace Youth Camp that said Discovering God's Word on the front in large letters. And we were there talking with my great aunt, and suddenly a lady came up to me in a wheelchair, and she was all excited and she was gesturing at my shirt. And she wanted to communicate with me, and she couldn't. It was clear that she'd had some kind of stroke or something. And I could tell she was intelligent, and she knew, she had an idea in her head, but her words just came out garbled. They didn't come out as sentences. And I mean, they were actually words, but they didn't make any sense. She couldn't put her thoughts together into words. And when I thought about later what she was trying to tell me, because one thing she did several times was gesture around her and say, they all keep walking around. And one thing I noticed at that nursing home was just the spirit of hopelessness and despair that seemed to be over most of the residents, certainly over my great aunt, These were people who knew they were never getting out of this nursing home. Their bodies had broken down, were never going to recover. And there was a lot of despair. But here was a lady who knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And she knew the answer that could give these people hope. And yet, because of whatever had happened to her, she couldn't share it. She couldn't share the gospel with them. And she was so excited when she saw this Christian shirt I had on, because she was hoping I would share the gospel with them. But I couldn't understand what she was saying. And it wasn't until later that I think I figured it out. Of course, it's still just a guess. But that made me think that I'm actually able to share the gospel. You know, I can come out with the words. And here was this lady who so much wanted to share, but she couldn't do it. And so Paul is thankful that he's able, that he's enabled to spread the gospel. And of course, he had been made an apostle, so he had maybe more enabling than we ever had. But still, he's thankful that he's been enabled and that God had appointed him to his service. So he was thankful that he could serve God. That's an interesting thing to be thankful for. Again, be thankful that you can serve God. I mean, what better thing is there to do? What more lasting or fulfilling thing is there to do than to do things for God? We know everything else that we do in this world, things in this world pass away. But when we serve God, we're doing things with eternal consequences. So Paul is thankful that he was able to do that. Now in 2 Timothy 1, verses 3 through 5, notice this, how Paul likes to start out his letters with thankfulness. You notice that these are all chapter 1s of his books, and he's talking about things he's thankful for. Very interesting. So he obviously puts a big priority on thankfulness. Well, 2 Timothy 1, verse 3, He says, I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. So he says, I thank God as I remember you. So he was thanking God for Timothy. And again, you notice because of his memories of Timothy. First of all, for Timothy himself, but also for what he remembered of Timothy. For how he knew how Timothy was. And he says how he was. Verse 4, recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. So he's thankful for Timothy because of Timothy's sincere faith. He says, I'm just thankful for your sincere faith. Now, again, this was the same thing that Timothy had been thankful for the Ephesians and the Colossians for. He'd been thankful for their faith. And he says to Timothy, that's what he's thankful for Timothy for, is for his sincere faith. Well, going on to Philemon, chapter 1. By the way, his faith and also his mother and grandmother's faith. So he was thankful that Timothy had a heritage of faith in his family. Then Philemon chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, Paul starts this book out with thanks as well. He says, I always thank God as I remember you in my prayers. So again, he's thanking God for Philemon and for what he remembers about Philemon. What does he remember about Philemon? He says, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. So here he's thankful toward this one person, Philemon, the same thing that he was thankful for the Ephesians and Colossians, and that is for Philemon personally. He's thankful that Philemon has faith, and he's thankful that Philemon loves all the saints. And then he says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. So, he's thankful he's hopeful that he will acknowledge every good thing that we have in Christ. So I think that's something he's thankful for, every good thing we have in Christ. And he's, again, thankful for his love, and for the fact that he refreshes his fellow saints, his fellow believers. So again, these were the kinds of things that Paul was thankful for. He was thankful that he could serve God. And he was thankful that he could minister for God. But most of all, he seems to be thankful for the memories of the people he has ministered to and with, and particularly for their faith, and particularly for their love. He's thankful for the faith and the love of the people he knows. So that's something to think about. And how thankful are we for the people that we know who are loving and faithful people? We ever think about sitting God and down with God and thanking him for all the people we know who love him and who have sincere faith and who love others? So these are the kind of things that Paul was thankful for. Well, that was Paul's testimony about what he was thankful for, but what does he tell us that we should be thankful for? And so let's start over and go through these seven later letters of Paul again, and this time go through what he says we should be thankful for. So back to Ephesians in chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and starting in verse 3. He says, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. So he says, get rid of all these ungodly lifestyle things, and get rid of ungodly talking, like obscene, foolish talk, dirty jokes. Get rid of all that kind of stuff, and instead, substitute what? Substitute thanksgiving. So instead of bad language or dirty jokes coming out of your mouth, instead let it be thanksgiving. Thanksgiving to God. So substitute that. So he says the kind of things that believers should be known for talking about is thanksgiving. That thankfulness should just be coming out of our mouths on a regular basis. That people should know, should recognize what thankful people we are. So that's very interesting. He says, replace bad talk with thanksgiving. So thanks is what we should be talking about. Thankfulness, things we're thankful for. Wow, that puts a lot of emphasis on it, doesn't it? Now, chapter 5, verse 20, a little bit later in the same chapter. And again, this is in the section where he's telling us behaviors to put off and ones to put on. So in verse 18, he says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak with one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So he says, sing and make music, not just with your mouths, but also in your hearts to the Lord. Have this musical attitude of praise and thankfulness, like when you're singing. Have that attitude in your heart. And then he says, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. So I guess that's kind of a catch-all, isn't it? We've been talking about specific things Paul was thankful for, maybe we should be thankful for, but here he says, just be thankful for everything. Just have that be your general attitude about things, is being thankful toward God. Well, that's kind of a huge thing, isn't it? Well, I think there's also a hint here, the kind of attitude that leads us toward being thankful. Because notice he's talking about speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making music in your heart to the Lord. So I think that's talking a lot about praise, about praising God, about thinking about God, about singing to God in your heart, and focusing on God and how great He is and how awesome He is leads us toward that attitude of thanksgiving, of thankfulness. When we're thinking about how great God is, that kind of naturally leads our minds into thinking of how many great things He's done for us, and then brings us to being thankful. So having that praise, songs of praise type attitude leads to a thankful type attitude. The two kind of go hand in hand. If we aren't thinking much about how great God is or how much He's done for us, well, then we're not going to be very thankful. But having that praise type attitude leads us toward thankfulness. And then going on to Philippians, next book. Philippians 4, verse 6. And these are a great couple of verses for talking about prayer today and the kind of attitude we should have in prayer. Philippians 4, 6, he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." So he's talking about prayer. And he says what he wants of us in prayer is that we not be anxious, that we not be worrying, but that we be presenting our prayers and petitions to God, but that we do it with thanksgiving. So he says, when you're praying, and when you're asking God for things, when you're petitioning God for things, do it with thanksgiving. Now, it's easy for us in prayer to ask God for things, isn't it? And we probably have laundry lists of things that we ask God for, and maybe we ask Him for them every time we pray. That's easy. But he says, look, when you're presenting those petitions, do it with thanksgiving. So don't just have a laundry list of requests. Have a laundry list of thanks to offer along with it. Well, it's a lot easier to do the laundry list of requests. But he says, present those requests with thanksgiving. Think about the things God has given you. Think about maybe the requests He's granted. Or maybe the things He's given you even without you ever requesting them. Because you didn't pray for something, if it's a blessing, if it's a great thing that you have, certainly should be thankful for it. So he says, along with your petitions, be giving thanks. And not necessarily in order, just give a list of petitions and then a list of thanksgiving. Maybe you thank God for what you do have, and then petition Him for maybe a little bit more than that you like. So maybe if you really would like a new car because yours is wearing out, thank him for all the years that your car has worked and how thankful you are that it's broken down on you rarely and how well it's worked for you and everything. And then ask him for the new car. You know, think of the thanksgiving and the petition together rather than maybe a list of requests and a list of thanksgiving disconnected, but actually have them be connected together. And so you're thanking God. Maybe you're praying for someone you know who doesn't believe. Well, maybe thank God for the people you know who do believe, along with requesting about those who don't, and things like that. So mixing the prayers, they're the petitions and the thanksgiving together, and having them go hand in hand. Now, notice what he also says, that the result of this kind of prayer is, he says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so I think there's a connection between this kind of prayer and the peace of God. Now, the thing is, when all we do when we pray is ask God for things, what are we focusing on? We're focusing on the things that we don't have that we'd like to have. Well, that doesn't lead to much of a peaceful attitude. If you're thinking about, oh, I don't have this, and I don't have this, and I don't have this, and I want this. But if you're mixing those requests in with thankfulness for all the things that you do have, and even, like I said, making the two tie together, be thankful for the things you've had leading into the request, perhaps, or connected to the request. Well, that's going to lead you into much more the kind of attitude, well, you have peace in your heart. You're thinking about all the things you have as well as all the things you'd like. And thinking about them together leads more to that peace of God. Whereas if you separate them, or if all you ever do in prayer is think about the requests, well, like I said, that leads to a lot of dissatisfaction because all you're focusing on is what you don't have. So he says, if you present your requests with thanksgiving, two going together, then that's bringing you where? That's bringing you to the peace of God. And I think there's also included in that peace is a true union with God, because now you, hopefully the things you're asking God for are things that God would like too. If you're asking for salvation of another individual, I think you and God are agreed on that. You'd like that person to become a believer. So there's a union with God there in that request, but it helps to be making that request with thanksgiving. Because you're not just focusing on all the things you don't have and all the things you wish God would give you. So thanksgiving helps bring the peace. Then the next page in Colossians 1. Now this one I quoted a little bit earlier about something that Paul thanked God for. He says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. Now notice what he says, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven, that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel. So he says, we are thankful for your hope, for the hope that's stored up for you in heaven, in other words, stored up with God, and that you've heard about when you heard the gospel. You heard about your hope stored up with God, and we're thankful for that. So that was something Paul was thankful for, but I wanted to list it here along with the things that we should be thankful for, because down in verse 12, he mentions hope again, things that they were asking God. He says that we are praying for you and asking God to fill you with certain things, the knowledge of his will, that you'll live a life worthy. And one of the things that he's wanting them to be doing in verse 12 is giving thanks to the Father. So he says, one thing we pray for you is that you will be giving thanks to the Father. And giving thanks to the Father for what? Who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. So he says, we want you to be giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you for an inheritance. So one thing he wanted for the Colossians was that they would be giving thanks for their inheritance. Now that's tied right in with what Paul was thankful for in verse 5, their hope. and that is that we have an inheritance with God. Now, how does this work? Because when we think of an inheritance, we know that for us, we think of an inheritance when you're in someone's will, and that person dies, and you get part of their estate. That's your inheritance from them. Well, how do we get an inheritance from God? Because obviously God is never going to die and leave us things. Well, no, see, an inheritance is a part. It's a portion, right? Your part of that will is your inheritance. That's your portion. That's your part. And if you have a part in that will, you have an inheritance there. So God is never going to die to leave us an inheritance. But see, we have a part. We have a portion with God. In God's blessings, there's a portion of that that's ours. If we are a believer, we have an inheritance. And so he wants us to be giving thanks to the Father, the God who qualified us for a share in that inheritance, for a share in the portion that he's giving to the saints. He has qualified us to receive that, to receive our portion, to receive our share in that portion of the saints. So he says, we want you to be thanking the Father because he's qualified you for a share in the inheritance of the believers. Now, Colossians 2, verse 7. We'll start with verse 6. Again, he's commanding them. He says, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So he says, I want you to be strengthened in the faith you were taught, and just be overflowing with thankfulness. So just be abounding in it. Just be overflowing with it. We know what something that's overflowing, when you fill your glass too full or your arm slips and you fill it over the top and it's overflowing, right? So he says, I want you to just be overflowing with thankfulness. And notice that's connected with being strengthened in the faith. So strong faith and overflowing thankfulness kind of go together here. Strong faith and overflowing thankfulness. When we really truly believe in God, that'll help us realize all the things he's done for us and have that overflowing attitude of thankfulness. So strong faith and thankfulness go together. Then 3:15 of Colossians again. He says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. So here Paul doesn't so much tell us things we should be thankful for, as he just out and out commands it. He says, be thankful. So in this case, thankfulness is not an option, it's a command. He says, God commands you to be thankful. See, this is very, very important, that believers be thankful. And so he says, one thing you need to do, if I'm giving you commands, things you need to do, one thing you definitely need to do as a believer is to be thankful. Then 3:17, just two verses further on, he says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So he says, everything you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, and do it giving thanks to God the Father through Jesus. So he says, in everything you do, have an attitude of thankfulness. So he's not only commanding us to be thankful, he's telling us to be thankful in everything we do. Wow, that's that's quite a command, isn't it? Be thankful in everything we do. Well, I would say sometimes for us it's a lot easier to be complaining in everything we do than it is to be thankful in everything we do. He wants us to be thankful in everything. Wow, so this is really important. 4, verse 2, Colossians 4, verse 2. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So he says, be devoted to prayer, and what he wants them to do in prayer is to be watchful. In other words, be watching for things to be praying about, whether in your own life or in the lives of other people. Just be watching out for things to pray about. And then the other thing he says is be thankful. So one thing that God wants in our prayers is thankfulness. to be a constant part of our prayers. Well, that fits right in with what he said about in Philippians about offering thanksgiving along with our petitions. He says, make thanksgiving a constant part of your prayers. Then going on to 1 Timothy, just three books farther on this time, skipping over Thessalonians. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Again, the things he wants believers to be thankful for. He says, I urge then, first of all. So this is the first thing he urges, and the first thing would be the most important thing almost. He has that idea. It's the first of all, of first importance, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. So he says, of first importance, he wants us to be making requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving. And some people have took those and said those are kind of the four categories of prayer. And that's not a bad idea. But notice that right in there among the things that he wants to be praying us to be praying is thanksgiving, thankfulness. So Paul always has this idea that thankfulness should be mixed into prayer. Then in verse 2 he says, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Well, now here's an interesting one. Be thankful for kings and authorities. And remember, Paul was living in the Roman Empire where the kings and authorities weren't very good. They were pretty oppressive. A lot of them were corrupt. But he says, be thankful for kings and authorities. We'll talk about something that we tend to do a lot of complaining about and not a whole lot of thanking about, and that is our rulers. We don't have kings, but we have presidents and governors and mayors. And we do a lot of complaining about them. But he says, be thanking God for your rulers and your authorities. Well, sometimes you might feel like you have to stretch a little bit to thank God for some rulers and authorities. But still, I think we can all be thankful that we have rulers and authorities. Countries that don't, I mean, if you're complete chaos and utter anarchy, well, that's no good for anybody. So no matter how bad our rulers are, maybe there are some things we can thank God. We can thank God we have rulers. So, well, he wants us to be thankful for rulers. And again, he's writing from a culture that didn't have the best of rulers. So it's not like, hey, he doesn't understand how bad our rulers are. No, I think he did. Their rulers were pretty bad. But be thankful for rulers. Wow, that can be a tough one. Then 1 Timothy 4. This is the last thing in his later letters. Interesting, in Titus, he doesn't have a lot to say about thankfulness. But in 1 Timothy 4, he says, the Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God in prayer. So what is he talking about here as being thing we should be thankful for? It's food. Now, I think this is a very interesting way to finish off the last two on thankfulness. And that is that these are two things that, as I said, are probably things as Americans that we're probably least likely to be thankful for. And number one is rulers. We love to complain about our rulers. We don't like to be thankful for them. But number two is food. Now, I know that when we sit down before a meal, we usually always include in our prayer, thank you for this food. We say that every time we sit down to a meal. But I really don't think as Americans, and I'm including myself in this, I really don't think we're very thankful for food. And the reason for that, quite simply, is that most of us, and maybe a few of us, lived through the Great Depression where you were wondering where your next meal was going to come from. But most of us didn't, and we've always had enough food. The fact is, we've always had enough food. We've never thought, man, where's my next meal going to come from, or am I going to go hungry today? No, that is so far from our experience, we don't even think about that. We don't live like in a nation of Israel where they were probably constantly going around hungry. And when you ate, it was just kind of to take the edge off your hunger. not to really satisfy you. So for us, eating really is so far removed from keeping ourselves alive that really for us, it's nothing but entertainment. Have you ever thought about that? That eating for us is entertainment. We want to be entertained by our food. And we treat our food like entertainment. You know, your entertainment, TV shows. You watch a TV show, you say, oh, that was a dumb show, I'm not going to watch that again. Or you watch a sports game, oh, that was a boring game, or that was an exciting game. Or I like football, but I don't like baseball. Or I like baseball, but I don't like football. We rate our entertainment. We talk about, did it entertain me or did it not? Well, what do we do with food? Well, food, we do the same thing, don't we? We rate it. It's entertainment. Did this meal entertain me or did it not? And if it entertained us, we'll talk about it. That's probably good. If it didn't entertain us, we'll talk about that too. Or we'll talk about certain foods that fail to entertain us every time we eat them. Right? This is how we talk about food. Well, you know, that's entertainment, but is that really an attitude of thankfulness? Imagine if someone gave me a gift. I open up, just say, for a wild thing, it was a cooking pot. I say, oh, thanks for the gift. I say, wow, that handle's kind of short. I kind of think it's going to be hard to use that with that short handle, isn't it? Oh, I don't think I like the weight. You know, it's kind of too heavy. I like a cooking pot that's not too light, not too heavy, you know, kind of right in the middle. And oh, what is that made out of? Is that stainless steel? I really like stainless steel cooking pots. I don't think that's a stainless steel one, is it? And does that have a coating on it? I like expensive coatings on my cooking pots. Now, that looks like a cheap coating. Do you get a cooking pot with a cheap coating? Well, if somebody did that, I'd give them a cooking pot, and they did that, I would say, well, couldn't you at least pretend to be grateful for the gift I gave you? If they said to me, what? I thanked you for the gift when I first opened it, didn't I? Well, yeah, you did thank me, but did you act thankful then? Well, no. No, you didn't act thankful. All you did is sit there and rate it and say what you liked about it and what you didn't. Well, that's what we do with food, isn't it? We thank God for the food at the start, then rate it. What we like, what we don't like the whole time we're eating it, whether it's entertaining us or not. Well, and again, this is me as much as anybody else. As Americans, I'm afraid that we just aren't very thankful for our food. And this is something that we really need to think about, I think, and that we really need to consider in our own hearts, is that, am I really thankful for food? I say I'm thankful every time I pray, but am I thankful? And how can I be more thankful? And again, I'm not saying that you have to like everything. You know, we all have likes and dislikes. And yes, food is entertainment in America, and it's going to stay that way for us unless we get to the point where we are starving and don't care anymore. But how can I try to be more thankful for food? And it's hard. And again, like I said, without ever having gone through not having enough food, it's hard to be thankful. But it's something to think about. That how can I be more thankful for food? Now notice he talks about doctrines of demons here, and we like dispensationally to talk about rules about abstaining from certain foods, clean and unclean laws, and things like that. That's a dispensational mistake. But notice that part of the doctrine of demons is abstaining from foods that you should be thankful for. So he says the doctrine of demons is to abstain from certain foods as a religious thing instead of being thankful for those foods. So he says the doctrine of demons, part of its object, part of its purpose is to lead you away from being thankful for that food. So that's how important he is. He says demons work to try to get you not to be thankful for your food. So it's like, wow, if demons think it worth their while to try to get me not to be thankful for my food, maybe I should kind of work hard to try to be more thankful for it than I generally am. And that's very convicting for me, and hopefully it is for all of us, that, wow, am I really thankful for my food? And I should be. But again, in America, it's hard to be, because it's just so far from our minds that I would ever not have food. So thankfulness is something that is of first importance to God. Again, Paul said, of first importance I urge that prayers be made and in there be thankfulness. Paul starts off his letters, a lot of his letters with, he starts them off with things he's thankful for. So this is something that's so important, and yet it's something that each and every one of us struggles with. And I think I pointed out two kind of big examples, and We're not very thankful for our rulers. Prefer to complain about them to be thankful. And we're not very thankful about our food. Again, we prefer to complain about it. Well, we say we're thankful, but then we offer a lot of complaints. So we need to remember all that is done for us. God says that is so important. We need to incorporate that into our prayers, not just laundry lists of requests, but also thankfulness. And just develop that attitude where Paul says, be thankful in everything. That's just defining everything you do as an attitude of thankfulness. And, wow, how far short I fall of that. And I'm sure we all do. Open His Word and see, knowing God in the Word, finding truth in this broken world, knowing God in the Word, finding truth in this broken world.
Christ and He'll bring us through. Only truth can set us free. Open His Word and see. Knowing God in the Word, finding truth in this broken world. Knowing God in the Word, finding truth in this broken world. Finding truth in this broken world.